Today, my guest is Nahid Akram, who is founder and transformational leader of Karakor Consultancy. Welcome to the podcast, Nahid.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Rutger.
Now, we start with that very important question that I ask everyone as the first question. So I'll ask you as well, Nahid, why do you do what you do?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, there's no real big profound reason for it. I think it's just been more of a process than a plan, really, for me. I've always been drawn to finance, even going to university or even school before that. The subjects that I was mainly drawn to were around economics and finance, mainly on the macro side. You know, I've always enjoyed how systems work, how everything connects. So on the macro perspective, just looking at, you know, the different processes from on a global level and just understanding how the economy works, really. I've always found that very fascinating, definitely more kind of macro than micro. And even when I started doing my accountancy qualification, which had many modules, the module that I had the highest marks in was around systems, organizations and processes, which was a bit of a surprise to me because obviously that's not, you know, it's a bit of an edge module from the traditional accounting. So I think it's always kind of been there subconsciously. And then when I left uni, I went into, I actually followed the whole accountancy route as a way of getting into banking and very quickly realized that accounting wasn't for me and left and went traveling for a bit, you know, to reset. Then I was offered a role at HSBC working on a financial reporting delivery. And I think that's when it clicked. I just realized then how much I enjoyed working in the change space. I love the whole transformation piece, you know, seeing something as a tiny idea in this global setup becoming an actual tangible thing, not just on the tech or the process side, but also just working with the tech teams and business teams and being in that environment where you're surrounded by people that you can learn and develop from and just getting everyone aligned and translating ideas between the two areas. And I think that all just ties back again to how much I have enjoyed macroeconomics and the whole economic side of things. That big picture thinking, solving moving puzzles and creating clarity. And that's why I do what I do. I love turning complexity into actual momentum and real products and solutions.
So you are passionate about being a change agent and you have a passion for financial services, and that actually comes together in your current role.
Exactly. It's almost like all these different parts of my life have led me to where I am right now in terms of the work that I do, and even going forward and setting up my own consultancy, turning it from a work thing into my own business. It's just joining up all of those the dots and the experiences that I've had in the past.
So you're living your why. Now tell us a little bit about what you do and what is kind of the number one use case that you solve for your customers.
The good thing about working in consultancy now, as opposed to my previous work across banks, is that I now get a chance to work with businesses of all sizes. So I deliver transformation in some form for each of the clients that I have, particularly in the areas of regulation, technology, and operations, and not just, you know, those specific three areas individually, but looking at change from a more holistic level and considering all areas needed for a successful solution or go live. You know, for example, that could be a fintech scaling fast, it could be a bank updating their risk framework, or a mid-sized firm trying to implement AI in a compliant and scalable way. So I act as a strategic partner as well as a hands-on delivery lead. I don't just advise, I help make sure the work gets done. What clients get from that is structure, clarity, momentum, no fluff, no wasted cycles. They avoid delays, reduce rework, and get outcomes that actually stick. A lot of what I do is about bridging the gap between strategy and execution. That's where most transformations tend to fall apart. I come in as a bridge between the two. So, for example, we recently helped a fintech align their compliance roadmap across three markets and go live early with zero slippage. That's the kind of momentum that Karakor brings to the table, really.
Yeah. So you really help transformation happen and you actually get in the game and make sure that everyone is in the right spot and things get delivered the way they should be.
Yeah, Exactly. We act as that bridge between so many moving variables, between different teams and their processes, between different decisions being made by solution providers and senior management. It's just bringing all those viewpoints together and making sure that we are delivering in sync and to meet the roadmap objectives.
Yeah. And that is a very important role. Now, when that successfully happens, how do your customers talk about the value they get from working with you?
So one thing that does come up quite a lot is I think I'm recognized as someone who is very keen on keeping things moving in projects. One of the key USPs that we have is that we are problem solvers, and that's how we position ourselves with the client as well. We don't come in as SMEs in terms of, you know, IT or compliance. We're not consultants that will come into a meeting and just talk about issue after issue. We come in and we solve problems. We come in and provide solutions. And so even if, for example, in a meeting, we're unable to provide a solution there and then, we'll go away and find the answers. And that's the beauty of working with so many experts in tech and the banking business, because someone will always have the answer. So we keep things moving from that perspective. We'll go away and find the answer and provide a solution and make sure the project is always moving ahead. And it's not necessarily always about let's deliver this fast. It's about delivering it to the right quality as well. And I think that's what our clients like about us, that we are problem solvers and we keep that momentum going.
I talk about you as being a solution provider or someone that gets the job done and comes up with solutions and not just problems.
We get paid to provide a service, and that's to provide solutions. So we're there to make the client's life easier and provide value. We're known for getting things done under pressure. We bring calm, we bring structure, and we focus where potentially others may freeze up, you know, and we do that by spotting problems early, solving them quickly, and making sure that the work sticks. For example, one of our clients recently on a financial crime program said that we don't just help with the content, we keep the progress alive even when it could potentially stall. We bring structure without slowing things down, which is rare mix in transformation work. And I think that's what they really value.
If you transform something, you want to make sure that it gets to the finish line. Like half a transformation is worth nothing. It needs to be completed.
Yeah, exactly. The beauty of a project management consultancy is that you'll have IT solution providers come in on a project, or you may have compliance SMEs come in on a project, and they take ownership of their particular areas. Whereas from a project management perspective, you know, particularly for our consultancy, we take a holistic approach to everything. We take ownership and we quietly make the hard parts happen.
Now, I like to do this thing called futures thinking. Now, we don't know what the future is going to bring. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I like you to think 10 years out, so 2035. How do you see the world of banking and any transformational projects that might be going on 10 years from now? What does that look like?
We talk about the future being digital, and we've been talking about that, right, as a concept for a number of years now. But let's be honest, I think that's just a starting point, and that's probably well established and well known. In 10 years' time, we'll see financial services fully AI integrated. Obviously, another concept we've been talking about for a very long time. Fraud detection, onboarding, credit decisions, they'll, you know, be part and parcel of every process, all AI driven. But I don't think the real winners are going to be the ones who just adopt AI the fastest, for example. It's going to be the ones that build the trust around it, right? Because that's what financial services is about. Our customers, they rely on our services, and that comes from a place of trust. We're handling money, we're handling all types of personal information for these customers, and all of that, for them to trust us with that part of their lives, that's going to be paramount. And we all know with AI, there are challenges in that trust aspect that need to be looked at and governed better. So it's all about who builds trust, I think. Governance, explainability, risk management. I think that's where the next wave of competitive advantage will live, because complexity isn't going to go away in financial services. It's just getting faster and faster. And most organizations are just not structured to keep up with that. So the real question isn't, can we build this, which is where the climate seems to be at the moment. It's, can we govern it? Can we scale it across teams and borders? Can we adapt it in real time without breaking things? Because that's, you know, key for some of the big enterprise level setups. And the organizations that thrive will be the ones who bake compliance into infrastructure, treat delivery as a strategic lever, not an afterthought, which also happens quite a lot, and bridge legacy and innovation without shortcuts. So, for example, one red flag I'm seeing now is teams building AI pilots with zero governance, or starting at the point of looking at data quality. You will never have a successful AI solution without looking at the data quality, which is key in financial services. The output is what key decisions are made on, after all. And that's going to be a huge liability in a few years, I feel, the data quality and the governance aspect. Everyone says digital first, and that's the kind of position many organizations are taking. But what I find is a lot of the back-end systems are still relying on manual processes and spreadsheets. So the smartest leaders I know are shifting focus, not just towards new tools, but towards execution readiness, because that's what will separate the hype from the results, really.
So we're going to see 10 years from now, we're going to see a future where most everything will be digital. AI will play a major role, but the key component is that trust component, right? Because people still associate financial services and their finances with trust. So the winners will be the ones who are able to create structure and compliance around that AI world that is mostly digital to generate that trust where the customer sort of says, yes, I'm comfortable working with this financial institution.
Yes, exactly. Now, and that will come through having robust governance processes in place.
How can we get started today to get ready for that future that you just described?
It goes back to the thing I'm always talking about in my LinkedIn posts and communication. It's not a bad thing. It's great seeing a lot of innovative solution providers in the market, because, you know, there are some great things happening, and it's, you know, really interesting to see the art of the possible as well. But I think too much still we are seeing IT departments and IT technical solution providers working in silo. These products or the end service will only be successful if the compliance teams and the business are all taken on the journey at the same time, and everyone's aligned and working in sync, you know, rather than, say, for example, adding in compliance processes as an afterthought after a solution has been rolled out.
Yeah. So cross-functional teams are key to actually make this transformation to that future happen. And then maybe someone like yourself who can keep everyone on task and make sure that it actually gets delivered. What do you think?
Well, this is it. Yeah, because obviously, you know, especially for some of the more technical and complex product rollouts, you certainly need someone leading the teams and making sure they're in sync. And I think with Carico, one of the USPs, as well as being problem solvers, we recognize and have seen the issues and challenges that can come with different teams, you know, having different processes and using different terminologies and lingo, and the importance of making sure there's a translator, if you like, who's there in the midst of all of the delivery activities, ensuring that they can keep the teams in sync and that the communication is there.
Well, that's probably a good point to wrap up this episode. So thank you very much, Nahid, for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
And until next time, choose to be curious.